take notes, but you don't need to take notes, just want to listen, pay careful attention, and I hope that everybody will get a lot of inspiration from the presentation.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Shalom Aleichem. It is awfully close to Rosh Hashanah, and I know you only started a couple of days ago. What I would like to accomplish with you here today, in the time that we have, is to try to give you a little bit of a framework. It's how to approach Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There would be value, perhaps, for us to take out a machzor and look at the details of the machzor and go through the structure of the machzor, so that we have a framework for understanding it. But number one, I don't think we have time to do that properly. Number two, before we open up the machzor, we have to have a broader sense of what it's about, what we're trying to accomplish on the day. So what I'm going to try to do with you is talk to you about what we're going to try to accomplish on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and that it'll give at least a fuzzy framework for the machzor and for how you're going to focus yourself when you daven and around the day generally. Okay. So when a person wants to do tshuva, we know that tshuva applies every day of the year, but there are aseres yemei tshuva. There are 10 days of tshuva. 10 days of tshuva start with Rosh Hashanah and end with Yom Kippur. When you want to daven for tshuva, what would you usually do? What would you usually say? Anyone? Starts off the same always. Always starts the same. Yeah. What would you do when you want to daven for tshuva? What's the tefillah for tshuva? Tefillah for tshuva is something called vidui, right? How many of you knew that? Like 95% of you, but for some reason you wouldn't say it. Okay, we'll figure that one out. But right, the tefillah for tshuva is vidui. You turn to the Rabbeinu Shalom, you say, Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm sorry, I did this, I did that, and I really apologize, I feel bad about it. Of course, the same way you would do if you were talking to your friend or your classmate or your mother, and you did something and you wanted to do tshuva, you wanted to apologize. You might not call it tshuva when it comes to your friend or a parent. You might not use that magnificent term, even though it could apply. But what you would do, you would come to them and you say, you know, I feel bad, I did this, I'm sorry, I'll really try not to do it again. That's the tefillah of tshuva. And if you open up the Yom Kippur Machzor, you'll have no problem finding it. In fact, Yom Kippur Machzor, we say vidui at Mincha Erev Yom Kippur. We say it twice at Mariv, once by ourselves, once together with everybody else. We say it twice at Shachris, once by ourselves, once with everybody else. We say it twice at Musaf, once by ourselves, once with everybody else. We say it twice at Mincha. We say a version of it at Ne'ilah twice. We say vidui over and over and over again. Which makes sense. It's a day of tshuva. How about on Rosh Hashanah? How many Hashamnus do you say on Rosh Hashanah? Zero. How many Alchets do you say on Rosh Hashanah? Zero. You know what you say on Rosh Hashanah? There's one line where we say that. It's printed in the Machzor. The line is Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha, the first Avinu Malkeinu. And you know that there were many who never said it on Rosh Hashanah. They started Avinu Malkeinu with the second Avinu Malkeinu. Even we who say it on Rosh Hashanah, when Rosh Hashanah doesn't come out on Shabbos, we say Avinu Malkeinu very quietly. You're supposed to say it. You're not supposed to talk to Hashem about your averus on Rosh Hashanah. So my question one to you is, if tshuva and the normal prayer of tshuva would be, I'm sorry I did this, I want to fix it. So how would it be that on Rosh Hashanah we stay away from saying anything like that at all? How do you do tshuva without telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, I feel bad, I did this wrong? Is that a good question? Everybody okay? I need interactive. Is everybody okay? You hear the question? Not? Okay. Very good. Thank you. Baruch Hashem. So question number one. Why we do that? So you might say, well, you know, Rosh Hashanah is also a Yom HaDin. It's a day of judgment. On Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Yikasev, when we enter in Kippur, Yechasem, when Kama Yavrin, when Kama Yiborei, when Miyichya, Miyamus, Miyami, Miyashir. On Rosh Hashanah, it's decided, Hashem sits, and he looks at each of us, like a shepherd might look at each little member, each little lamb in his flock, and he decides what we need and what we should have. Who should be well, and who, heaven forbid, the opposite, who should be prosperous, and who, heaven forbid, the opposite, who should live, who should die, how many should be born, and so on and so forth. So, look, you know, it's a day of tshuva, but it's also a day of din, it's a day of judgment. And on a day of judgment, so maybe on Rosh Hashanah, we have to be preoccupied with that. And we're saying, Rabbeinu Shlomo, please, please, give us chayim, give us life. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's what we have to focus. Maybe that focus crowds out the Vidli thing. Yom Kippur, yeah, of course, Yom Kippur Hashem finally decides, but, you know, it's only just Yechaseimon. Maybe you would say that. So again, open up your Rosh Hashanah Machzer and see how much of it is asking Hashem to give you health and to give you wealth and to give you life and to give you all those things. You'll find that it's not really that much. There are places where we do ask for it. Like when we say Zachreinu L'chaim Melech Chafetz B'chaim. When we say B'sefer Chaim Bracha V'sholem U'farnasa Tev Ani Zachar V'ni Kasev. But you know, while we do say those things, those are not the central tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. In fact, as you probably learned in Halacha, if when you daven during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you skip all of those things by mistake, you don't have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. They weren't even found. There's no mention of them even made in the Gemara. It came from the time of the Gaonim. When they wrote the Siddur, they put these lines in. But they're not the central tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. The central tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is where we daven in the bracha of Atah Kadosh that Hashem's awe and fear should be over all the world. Right? Hashem should rule over everything. Hashem should give special position to the Jewish people because of the fact that we're faithful to Him all the way through. We believe in Him through thick and thin. Maleich al kol olam kula, Hashem rule over the whole world. The Malchios, Zichronos, Shofros of Musaf. But it's not like we're spending Rosh Hashanah turning to Hashem and saying, Hashem, give us a good year, give us a good year, give us a good year. We say it, but it's not the main part of what we have to tell Him. So it's a day of tshuva, and we're not asking Hashem for forgiveness. It's a day of judgment, and we're not busy asking Hashem for a good judgment. So what's going on? Okay, second question. First question, it's a day of tshuva, shouldn't we be asking Hashem for forgiveness? And we stay away from it like anything. So it's a day of judgment, so we should be asking Hashem for a good life. We don't do that either. Primarily, we do it somewhat, but we don't do it primarily. That's not really what the Rosh Hashanah tefillah seem to be about at all. And I'm going to ask you one last question. This is a classic question. I'm sure that many of you have heard this question before. The question is like this. On Yom Kippur, we ask Hashem for forgiveness. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem judges us. If you were making up the calendar, which would you put first? You know, try to plead with Hashem forgiveness, ask for everything before Rosh Hashanah. But instead, we do Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur. Okay. So, let's take a step back and look at this and try to understand perhaps a different version of tshuva that applies to Rosh Hashanah. This is what we're going to try to formulate for ourselves today, a different version of tshuva that applies on Rosh Hashanah that's not the normal tshuva that you think of, that Hashem, please forgive me for this or for that, a different kind of tshuva. A tshuva that makes sense to start off the Aseres Yemei tshuva, to come before Yom Kippur. That's our goal here today. Okay? So I want to help you as we're going to try together to think of what it means to do tshuva. This, you know, it's sort of a process which sometimes, you know, it's like painfully hard to even think about. To have a different perspective on the first fundamental step of tshuva that we can glean from how Rosh Hashanah comes into the calendar. Okay. So let me start by telling you something about what happens in corporate America, or in any real organization or structure that exists and is run well. In corporate America, let's say you were at the head of a company. Let's say a company called Microsoft. You're at the head of a company called Microsoft. It's a big company, right? Everybody heard of Microsoft. It's a big company. They do a lot of things. I would imagine, you would imagine, they do so many things. It must be a pretty complicated place, Microsoft, right? I mean, you know what? Who knows all the kinds of different things, all the different kinds of programs that they're making, all the kinds of things that they're doing. How do you organize a company like that? It must be incredibly, incredibly difficult. You could talk about it with a huge thing like that. You could even talk about it with a small organization. Now, let's say in Baltimore you have an organization called Bikur Chaylin, something like that. So they also have a whole bunch of different things that they need to do, a whole bunch of different things that they need to accomplish. You're running such a company. What do you do? So let me tell you what people do today. And it's a very good idea if it's done right. Somewhere along the line, maybe they do this once a year. More likely they do this, let's say, once every 10 years, the first big process. They do once every 10 years. What they do is they take the leadership of the company. Let's say you have the president of the company and the chairman of the board and five top executives and seven board members, and they get together someplace quiet. You know, if it's Bikur Chaylin of Baltimore, they go to somebody's house at 9 o'clock in the morning and they get together for the day, for 6 hours, right? After they drop off their kids for carpool in the morning, they get together until they have to pick them up in the afternoon. If it's Microsoft, they go to Hawaii for 3 days, right? And they go to a hotel where they have a nice conference room, and they sit in the conference room for many hours every day. And their job is, their task for the next few days is to craft something called a mission statement. You know what a mission statement is? Okay, a mission statement is where people will sit and they'll try to put into one or two sentences. A good mission statement is not going to be more than one or two sentences. Exactly what they as an organization or as a company want to accomplish. What are we here for? What are we trying to do? Break it down into a single sentence. Define your objective, your goal. Your mission, a mission statement. When you make a mission statement, you know, it sounds like, come on, it's easy, you know, face, you know, Microsoft, we're trying to make good products for computers. You got to sharpen it a little bit. You want to see exactly what you're trying to do, especially because, you know, there are probably thousands of companies today that are trying to do exactly the same thing. So for you, who you are, where you are, you need to be more precise. And you have to define it exactly and clearly. And then you take that mission statement. I'll tell you, I've been involved a couple of times when organizations try to do this. Microsoft never invited me for some reason, right? But when organizations try to do this, and people who do it right, it's literally on every word of the statement, there's a debate, a clarity to choose to make it exactly right. Now, what does that do? When they finish those 2 days, what does that do? Well, once upon a time, you should know that people would make these mission statements and they would work very hard on it. They'd be very proud of it. They would maybe print it someplace, or put it in the front of their calendar or their book, and then they would go on for another 10 years. But then they realized, you know something, we have to use this mission statement more than that. So what happens is the good ones, the good companies, they craft the mission statement, and then they have it very often literally right in front of them, on their desk, everybody in the company, this is what we're about. And then every project that they think about, should we do this? Shouldn't we do this? Should we continue this? Or should we not continue it? How much of our resources, money, time, energy, should we put into this? How little? Should we hire this person? Should we let this person go? Every decision will be made, measured up to that mission statement. Because this is what we're about. This is what we're trying to do. This is what we're trying to accomplish. So, does this help? Does this hurt? Does this move us forward? Or doesn't it move us forward? The mission statement is a positive definition of what you're trying to do, of what you're trying to accomplish. And then let's see what fits in. That's the process which comes afterwards. Okay. Everybody okay? Does that sound like a sensible thing to do? I think it's a very wise thing to do. You know, so often, whether you're running a company, whether you're running an organization, or whether you're an individual, you have millions of decisions you make every week, every day, constantly you're deciding about things. Now, if you were always having a clear vision of what it is that you're really trying to do in life, and then you were making decisions against that frame of reference, we would probably be a lot clearer, a lot more effective, a lot more efficient than where we never really articulated it to ourselves that well. I want to tell you something. When I was a younger person in the Kailo, in Israel, so we had a little group that during Ben Hazman and during vacation, we used to have a couple of days where we were a group of people who were planning to some to be Rabbanim and some to be Mechanchim and all kinds of things, where people would come and give us some education, some training, aside from the things that was the main focus of our learning in Yeshiva. The main focus was to grow as Talmidei Chachamim and Bnei Torah and everything else, but there are some practical skills in life that sometimes you need as you go on. So we had, you know, a little separate program that had this thing. So there was a gentleman, his name is, he calls himself Mr. Avi Shulman. And you hear of him, I think he writes articles in some of the Jewish newspapers. Very special person, very nice person. And he is one of the most organized people in the whole wide world. Drives me crazy. So at the time, you know, when people had calendars, right, nowadays, so I have a calendar on my phone, you know. That's what people have, you know, they have an electronic thing that tells them, you know, what to do to organize them. In those days, way back then, you know, when we all used to ride our dinosaurs to yeshiva, they didn't have such things. They didn't have such things. And the question was, so how do you keep your day? So he talked to us about being organized and efficient and being and accomplishing. So he said, so he walked into our group and he says, okay, guys, I want you to show me now if there's something on your list of things that you have to do tomorrow, show me where it says it. And one person had a big loose leaf. They used to have big loose leaf calendars, you know, day at a glance. And I had all these sheets of paper for this week, for that week. And he proudly has this big thing he's carrying. He takes it out and he shows it to the man. And another person had a little pocket calendar, you know, where you could write things. And another person, you know, had a whole bunch of pieces of paper in their pocket and say, have a list like this and a list like that. Right, that was me. And all these different things. So Avi Shulman is here. And he took out a pre-printed piece of paper, regular sized piece of paper like this. And he gave each of us a piece of paper and he says, I want you to fold it like this. And we fold it like this. And each panel on this paper was a day, right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, Sunday. That's the way it was. Or maybe I got the Sunday wrong, whatever it was something like that. And it had three holes right over here. And that was the front of the paper. And that way you would write each day, you know, you'd write what you have to do, you have an appointment, you have a job you have to take care of, you have somebody you have to call. And on the back, there were a number of different things you would write down. you got a phone number you had that week that you had to enter in your phone book, you would put it down over there. If you had an appointment you set up for 2 weeks from now, you would write it down there. And you would also write your goals, your mission statement. What are you generally trying to accomplish? And then back on the front of the paper, on Sunday, there was a little line printed on the paper that went across. And the line said, what are you doing now to achieve your goals? And on Monday, it was down here. What are you doing now to achieve your goals? And so on each day. And his idea was that then at the Matzah Shabbos, you take the paper, you put it into your folder at home, you take out a new one, you transfer information, you write down your goals, and that's your day. It was a brilliant thing. So besides the organization, which probably that method isn't so relevant nowadays, but everybody has on the back of their paper, walking around every day of your life, in your pocket, a mission statement. What am I trying to do? And every day, as you're going through your day, somewhere along the line you're reminded, are you doing something to reach your goals? Is what you're doing now match up with the mission statement? Imagine how directed, how clear that can help make us. That was his idea. Now, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave us a day called Rosh Hashanah. What's Rosh Hashanah? I know what Pesach is. Pesach is on the 15th day of Nisan. Why? Because on the 15th of Nisan, we went out of Mitzrayim. Right? Shavuos is on the 6th of Sivan, because at that time, Hashem gave us the Torah. It's the festival of Matan Torah Seinu. Sukkot, okay, so we have a question. Why is exactly at that time, on the 15th of Tishrei? All kinds of answers to that question. But it's remembering that Hashem took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Right? And how he took care of us in the Midbar. Excuse me, after he took us out of Mitzrayim. I even know why Yom Kippur, why we Jewish people celebrate Yom Kippur. Why do we celebrate Yom Kippur? What's Yom Kippur the anniversary of? Hashem said, Salachtik Dvarech. Hashem forgave us after the Maaseh Egel. The first time that Hashem granted the Jewish people forgiveness. What's Rosh Hashanah the anniversary of? Is Rosh Hashanah a Jewish holiday? It's a Jewish holiday, right? Is it a Jewish anniversary? What's it the anniversary of? Adam was created. Is that a Jewish anniversary? It's the anniversary of the world. Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the creation of the world. It's the world's birthday. And in fact, Rosh Hashanah, even what happens on Rosh Hashanah, what you think about it, the Yom Hadin, who's it for? It's for the whole world. The Chol Bai Olam, Yavrun Lefanecha Kivnei Marai. Everybody in the world passes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu for din, for judgment. But for some reason, only the Jewish people celebrate Rosh Hashanah. So what is it? What's happening on Rosh Hashanah? What's Hashem doing on Rosh Hashanah? So it's the day which Hashem judges. Hashem looks at the world. It's the anniversary of creation. Could I ask you something? Why did Hashem create the world? Ooh, that's a deep question. With only 15 minutes left. Right? Why did Hashem create the world?
He could do good to us.
Right? It's very, very important. One thing is clear, is that the world that Hashem created would only make sense if it was a world that reflected what Hashem wanted in creation, Hashem's will in the world. And it only makes sense in a world to the extent that we realize, first of all, that Hashem created us, He created us, and now we go from there. On Rosh Hashanah, when Hashem creates the world, see, I said to you before, people sometimes will craft a mission, a company will craft a mission statement once every 10 years, perhaps. It's true. But then, what are they going to do? What's the good, efficient company, the good, efficient organization, the good, efficient individual? What are they going to do? Besides every day making a decision this way, that way, you know, how are we doing, you know, does this make sense to do it according to the mission statement otherwise? Every, perhaps, year or so, they'll get together and they'll see where we're holding. Many times that's what people do when they have like an anniversary celebration. For a company, for a marriage, for anything. When somebody has a birthday, Right? So great, fantastic, happy birthday, balloons, flowers, candles. But as time goes on, you say, oh my gosh, I'm a year older. How am I doing? Where am I relative to where I want to be? And on Rosh Hashanah, which is the anniversary of when Hashem created the world, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this is the day of judgment. What does that mean, the day of judgment? Let's see. Where are we? Where are we relative to where we want it to be? I created the world for a purpose, and I want to see how things are measuring up. That's why it's natural for this, of all the days of the year, to be a Yom HaDin. Let's see how it's doing relative to what I wanted it to be, to the goals that we had set up. It's an evaluation. And so, when we get up on Rosh Hashanah, we get up to daven, what do we say? I asked you before, Hashem's deciding, Hashem's judging, so we could get up and we could say, Rabban Hashem, please take care of us. We could have the main focus of our davening be Hashem. You're deciding what to do for us. Please give us this, give us health, give us wealth, give us whatever it is that we seek, whatever it is that we feel that we need. That could be the thrust of what we do. But is that what Hashem's really looking at this point in time? Of course he's deciding what he should have. But what Hashem really is looking at is, how's my world doing? How's my world doing relative to what I wanted, what I intended when I made the world? So what do we do? What do we get up and say? Let's go back to our company model, okay? So the company has this annual thing where they're evaluating how things are going. And when they evaluate how things are going, you know what they usually do in those big companies? They get up and they look at each employee and they give them an annual review. How are they doing? You know, and now when they're doing it, like a wise company, they say, this is the company's goals. This is what we're trying to accomplish. Now let's look at this employee. Let's decide if we should keep them, if we should fire them, if we should give them a raise, if we should just hold them where they are, or maybe cut their pay. If we should give them a company car, make things easier for them, give them a parking pass here in the downtown so they don't have to worry about when they come, when they go, with the buses, with the trains. So how are they going to make that decision? Imagine, okay? You work for this big company, and you go into the boss, and he's making this big fancy evaluation of the company. He says, could you please, please give me a parking pass? Is that what you would say? Could you please, please, please give me a raise? I really need one. You know what you would do? You would go into the company with one of these big loose leaves that you have, and you would say, you go into the manager, you say, I want to show you the projects that I have been working on over the past year. I want to show you what I've done. I want to show you how I am advancing the mission statement of the company. And if you don't have a big loose leaf, at the very least, you know what you're going to do? You're going to go and you're going to say, I identify completely with the mission of the company. I am a valuable player on your team. Now, you may be humble, and you may not want to say that. You may not be ready to say, I'm a valuable player on the team, but you know what you will need to say, and you won't be too humble to say. You say, I am committed to the goals and the intentions that you have in creating the world, in creating this company, in creating this organization. And when we daven on Rosh Hashanah, that's what we do. We daven and we say, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, this is our prayer today. Meloich al kol ha'olam kulei b'chvedecha. There are many paragraphs in our tefillahs that express the same theme. We'll just choose that one, which is the Birchas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we want you to really rule over the whole world with your glory. You created a world, of course, for everybody to have the goodness, but the goodness comes in first and foremost recognizing that you created them. They know that they're in Hashem's world. They know they can get a clue from that as to what it's all about. On the day of Din, you know what you want to do? You want to tell the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I identify with your goal in creating the world. Okay. So, recall our second question. What was our second question? Our second question was, it's the day of Din. So maybe what our tefillah should be is, Hashem, give us a good din. But you know, it doesn't just help to come and say, Hashem, give us a good din. You want to give Hashem a reason to give you a good din. And the reason for Hashem to give you a good din is because the whole din is about evaluating how the world is going. And if I say, Rabbeinu Shlalom, I am a champion for what you want in this world, then Hashem says, this person's a valuable player. I want to help him. But still we have the first question. And the first question is, it's Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Tshuva usually means, I'm sorry for this, I'm sorry for that. And we don't say that on Rosh Hashanah. We avoid saying that on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so who's going to help me? So what perhaps could we understand now to be tshuva? What would be a good first step to doing tshuva? You know what they do in that company, in the mission, in that, yes, please?
I was going to say that maybe on Rosh Hashanah you're showing your goal, the good goal that you want to achieve, not.
Yes, that's exactly right. And part of it is, yes, that we don't want to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of that. We want to remind Hashem of great things like the Akedah. We don't want to remind him of the negative things. But, as you say, what we're trying to do really on Rosh Hashanah is start with crafting a positive mission statement. If you want to do tshuva, of course you can do right away today. If I asked you, please write down 10 things you're apologetic for, 10 things you regret, you'd be able to do it. I'd be able to do it. I assume you'd be able to do it too. We could find things that we'd be able to do tshuva on. But it would be a thing here and a thing there. The first thing we want to do in order to really do a remake, to make ourselves really better, is first create a positive definition of what we really want to do, of who we really want to be, of what our real goals are. And after that, once you've defined, once you've made clear what I want, what's really my she'ifa, what's my goal, what's my desire, what's my yearning, what's my aspiration, then you say, okay, I have the mission statement. What doesn't fit? What doesn't work? The first step of tshuva, in a sense, is defining the ideal. And when you define the ideal, then you take a step back and you look at the details and you say, well, this doesn't fit, that doesn't fit, the other thing doesn't fit. And then we turn to the Yom Kippur Machzor and we say, this, no, that, no. To create for ourselves a positive definition of our lives directed towards a real, clear, positive goal of Malchus Shemayim, of how we fit into Hashem's world. You know, it makes the vidui much more organized. It's already organized, you know, it goes by Aleph Beis, right? A to Z, all the different things which we do. But you know, so we'll mention all kinds of things, but we're going to want to really be effective with our vidui on Yom Kippur, to be able to really hone in on what it is that we really, really can fix and we really, really need to fix. There are so many things out there. But just like our company, that when they define, when they have their mission statement and they figure out what it is that they're really, really about, what they're really supposed to do, there'll be a few quick, obvious adjustments that they'll need to make right away. Maybe they're going to be fairly big ones. Adjustments that they'll make right away, but it's all going to be in the context of trying to get it all to work, all to point in the right direction. That's Rosh Hashanah. In a sense, if you want like a little bit of a neat way to look at it, Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the creation of the world. When Hashem, in fact, according to some, not even when he created it, but when he olah b'machshava, when he planned the world. Rosh Hashanah is when Hashem designed and he planned the world. So what do we do on Rosh Hashanah? We design and we plan the world. Now, you and I can't plan the world, but everybody knows what's a nefesh achas miYisrael? Na'ilam Malay. Right? Every person is a world to themselves. Rosh Hashanah is the time to plan the world. As if, to some degree, you have a clean slate. What do I want it to be? What do I want my world to be? What do I want myself to look like? What's it about? And when you plan that world, of course, you know, you could say, well, I would like it to be with a big house and a nice car and a maid, right? That could be the way you plan the world. But, you know, people don't start off with a plan to do that. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam certainly imagined when he announced the world. That wasn't that. That was the details. The plan was a great plan. What, you know, I look around at the world around me. What's my place? What can I do? What do I think I'm here to be able to do? You look at yourself, you say, you know what? Now, maybe I'm a person who's, you know, I'm able to just help people get along better. I just see that in myself. You know, I'm able to warm things up. When there's some tension, I can go over, I can make people feel welcome. You know, my place in the world is to be marbe ava v'achva v'sholem v'reyes. When you turn to Hashem and say, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I know that you want people to be aguda achas, to be together. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I see myself as playing a role in that, in bringing people together. You know that you maybe have a special sensitivity to things that other people don't have, and that you are able to somehow convey that sensitivity, bring it to other people. So you turn to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and say, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you know, I think when I look at myself, I have this capacity. I have this kayach. I have this capability. I think that's what I should be in this world. I want to define myself as somebody who can do that. Now, you may say to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam afterwards, say, this is what I feel I need to be. And he might put in a whisper and say, in order to do that, I need X, Y, and Z. But the first thing is, this is the way I see myself. You'll go through a process, you say, well, if this is what I'm supposed to be, then this doesn't make such great sense that I should be doing. It didn't make sense that I did that. I regret that I did that. It didn't advance what I was supposed to be. Hayom haras olam. Rosh Hashanah is the day that Hashem planned the world. And when he planned it, he didn't go to Hawaii. He didn't go to somebody's living room. Hashem himself knew, decided, conceived, this is exactly what I want to accomplish. This is what I want this world to be. And Rosh Hashanah, he looks and he says, how are we doing? Let's again revisit that focus and see where everything is in that regard. And that's what we ourselves do as we plan our world. So, Rosh Hashanah, to our third question, comes before Yom Kippur, because it's so much clearer and so much more direct when you've already defined, okay, this is what I need to be. Now let's measure and see where everything fits with that. And Yom Kippur, you start to do some measuring. Say, this doesn't fit, that doesn't fit, this is something I want to adjust. But only after you have the mission statement crafted and clear, Meloch al kol olam kulo b'chvodecha, where you fit in to that perfection of Hashem's world, where you've defied your own, and that's our tshuva. Rosh Hashanah is of the Aseres Yemei tshuva. Yes, there's a tefillah of tshuva, a big tefillah of tshuva called Vidui, which over and over on Yom Kippur we say, this we got to adjust, that we got to adjust. We missed it, just like what Yom Kippur is the anniversary of. But the first tefillah of tshuva is Ribbono Shel Olam, we're defining our mission and our goal, and we are aligning it with yours. So, very practical result. Somehow, I would encourage you, between now and Rosh Hashanah, you know, if you're stuck, you can do it when your machzor's open on Rosh Hashanah. But it'll be good if you manage to do it a little bit before. Write a mission statement. A mission statement for you, for whatever your name is. Let's say, for example, your name is Devorah. You write a mission statement. You figure out, where do I fit? What do I want to be? Design your world. And on Rosh Hashanah, when you daven, crystallize it. Present it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. See how that really great thing that you feel that you want and you can accomplish, see how it fits right in to those tefillahs that you're reciting for the biggest wish that Hashem should really be known in the world, because each of us, each of you, each of us can make a difference in that in one way or the other. Write a mission statement. Keep it with you. Measure each decision, everything as you go forward, up to that mission statement. Refine it once in a while as you get to know yourself a little bit better. It's a great, great beginning for tshuva. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give you all the wisdom to craft a good statement and bench us all with a ksiva v'chasinu teva. Thank you.